Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Cinematic Trinity, where we talk movies, games and TV shows. And this week we're 1 year on since the PlayStation VR 2 release, so we're going to give our thoughts. Was it worth the money? Was it worth our time? Probably not, in Kieran's case, but let's get into it. So yes, the PlayStation VR 2, Sony's newest VR headset. We did our review on it last year, like a first initial.
That was a good episode, that was.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
No, that was genuinely.
I was there, you were too.
Genuinely, no, I think that was a good episode because we'd all done our research that episode and we were all well prepared. Whereas 1 year on, we're not as prepared anymore. So there you go.
Well, you know what? It's PlayStation's second foray into VR technology. It's learned a lot of lessons from the first headset, which we covered in our original review. So yeah, we're just sort of here to just, you know, 1 year on, where do we stand? How much have we even played? Is it still a good headset? You know, what do we think of it? Because according to my research that I've done for this episode, this brief bit, the headset actually sold 600,000 units in the first 6 weeks. So that's over £300 million of revenue for PlayStation.
Well, can I just say that I'd just done the exact same research just before we hopped on here. So I can confirm that that stat is correct. But however,
well done.
In PlayStation's yearly results for 2023, it made no mention of how it performed since then. It's never released any further sales figures, which suggests to, you know, casual people that it didn't perform as well as PlayStation would have expected. And apparently on Amazon, for every one PSVR 2 sold on Amazon in the US, there were 30 like Meta Quests or whatever sold. So again, it just shows that maybe not done as well as they hoped, which is interesting.
I mean, the price point was definitely the biggest thing, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a big price. It's also limited that it can only be used on a PlayStation 5, which is like, you know, you're limiting it by quite a lot because the PlayStation 5 is really expensive already. So the amount of people that will have enough money to buy the PS5 and the VR is just, it's not.
I mean, it's a grand straight down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, they didn't
without
even,
any games.
Yeah, and they didn't even make it so like PS4, like PSVR, like the first generation games were backwards compatible. Like they didn't make it, so they missed out on a whole bunch because it's not even like you could pick the headset up and be like, oh, it's all right, I'll play these old games I had like on my first VR headset. But no, if you still want to play those games, you still got to have your original one, which like I still do. So it's just like,
yeah, I mean, I can understand why, because the technology is so different in this one compared to the first one. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, therefore, the technology to actually build the games is different, especially with all like the adaptive triggers and haptic feedback and stuff like that. Like that all takes so much to actually develop games for.
Yeah.
That it then limits, you know, the people that are going to build those games as well, because it's not, you know, the people who build the AAA games that we want to see on the VR, they're too busy. Like, they're too busy making the actual games that they want to be making, not something that's, like, gimmicky.
Yeah.
Like the PSVR 2.
I think it makes sense, but, like, I feel like for a Sony product as well, like, I feel like the first-party studios could have contributed a bit more, especially because like Capcom, even though it's not like a Sony owned studio, that like they did Resident Evil 8 VR and they later on did Resident Evil 4 remake in VR. They did a really good port of Resident Evil 7 in like the first VR headset, which was really good. I'm just surprised they didn't like go back to that game, especially because Resident Evil 7 got like a PS5 version of the game. It's kind of like you could have done the VR as well. And it's like stuff like, you know, the PlayStation Studios, like that tech demo they did on the first VR headset, that was really good. So I feel like they kind of missed the mark where they could have just remade some games for this new technology. And because like it would have really benefited, just because like the DualSense like motion controllers are so good in this headset compared to the first VR
far
headset.
Superior.
But yeah, it's just a real shame, because I guess the first question really is, Kieran, how much have you played?
No. That's not the question for Kieran. That's the question that I'm supposed to be asking. You're not allowed to ask the questions here, Michael. So I've made a quiz, which is, how many hours has Kieran and has Michael played on the PlayStation VR?
That's a real catchy
since they purchased it. Okay. Catchy jingle.
Okay. It's like a Harry Hills TV burp. How many hours have Kieran and Michael played on the PlayStation VR 2?
Right, so place your bets. How many hours, Kieran, do you think you played?
I'll let Michael guess first, because I don't want my guess to...
Yes, that's... Yeah. Well done, Kieran. Okay. Michael, what's your guess?
Let's see. I know you haven't played a lot.
Isn't counting what you've played at our house, because obviously there's no way of knowing.
Yeah, I know me and you did a couple of sessions of Beat Saber, because we actually were able to do the online mode.
Is this true?
I'm going to go for Kieran, 8 hours.
Okay, Kieran?
I think that's a bit too generous. I think it's actually, I reckon I played about maybe 3.5 hours of Beat Saber, maybe an hour of Horizon, and maybe, mm-hmm. I think I played maybe 2 hours of Job Simulator. So I'm going to go 6 hours.
Okay. Well. Right,
what's the answer?
Kieran is bang on.
Is it?
6 hours. And you know how much it cost per hour?
I'm aware.
£88 per hour it costs you. That's not including the games, that's just the set.
Yep.
So do you feel that was worth it for you, Kieran? For those 6 hours.
Okay, so
in here.
My thing is, I like buying things and then I kind of realise after the fact that it's maybe not the best thing to do because I don't have the right environment to play them in.
Right,
you
don't have me
breathing down your neck saying, don't spend any money, what are you doing?
True. So, I mean, the area which I can play is probably no bigger than this table.
Right, yeah.
So, I'm very limited in what I could do where you're playing games where you are moving around. Like when you're playing Beat Saber.
Yeah.
If I'm playing Beat Saber, I'm hitting my furniture and stuff, and I'm alright, I should probably stop doing this because I don't want to break this really expensive thing I've just bought. So I do that, and then I play Walking Dead: Saints and Sinners, and this is something that happened here. I broke Michael Jupp's light.
You whacked.
I think I was using a katana in Saints and Sinners, and I threw both my hands up like that. And I hit the light, and then it kind of broke, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was the height of summer, and whenever it got to the point where we needed the light on, it was bedtime anyway, so it didn't really matter. So.
So that was me. I imagine a dog that knows it's done something wrong. That was me for the next couple of weeks.
Because when were we away? Were we away somewhere?
Michael was here. You were out.
Yeah, Kieran wasn't just in our house playing on the VR.
I feel like I came back in and Michael just
came back.
Something's happened. Yeah. Oh my god. What's happened?
You came back in with your dad, and then you walked in and said, yeah, something's happened, and you were like, oh god, what is it? I said, oh, Kieran broke the light, and that's when your dad, very kindly
leaped into action,
fixed it for us, a week or so later, and then, that was so funny. Yeah.
That was kind of, I feel like that was quite a point where I was like, okay, well, I'd probably stop until I get better.
Yeah,
environment to do it in, and then I just haven't had a better environment to do it in. Yeah. So that's probably why I've played a little bit more of Job Simulator, because it's a lot more little things like you just do.
Yeah,
it's not exaggerated movements or anything like that. So
yeah,
I think that's probably why I played a little bit more of that. And same with Horizon, because you're doing more the bow thing, so you're kind of it's more controlled. So I think to the right person in the right setting might be a little bit more worth it for me at the point in time which I bought it.
Because did you get it kind of because we got it, or did you?
I got it because I wanted to play Beat Saber.
Yeah.
Which I could have done on my VR1.
Yeah.
It isn't as good though. Would you agree that this is a superior headset compared to this one?
Yeah. So I mean, when you take a look at the PSVR1, it's borrowed sort of hardware from different things. The controllers were the PS Move controllers, which was used on the PS3 for four games, and then never used again, and they thought, we'll just use that again. So it wasn't dedicated hardware for it, so it's kind of understandable that once they've done something dedicated to it, it feels a lot better, and it works a lot better. And I think the fact they got rid of the camera that you had put in front of your TV,
and
then they put it in the actual headset, is so much better.
Yeah.
Because the amount of calibration issues you had when you played PS4 1 is just it's ridiculous. And they also improved a lot with the kind of optical side of things.
Oh yeah.
Because there's a lot more fine tuning you can do in the VR2. So you know, it is clear that they've made an improvement.
Yeah.
But it's also evident in the cost, because this is almost, like,
it's pretty much double in price.
It's almost double in price. So,
because I think,
do
like,
you think the world is ready for this? Because I know, obviously, there's a lot of talk about the Apple, whatever. I can't remember what it's called. But do you think that the world is ready for this kind of technology?
I think it's the next step, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just if they need to refine stuff, don't they? Because it's even like the Apple headset. Like, obviously, with this thing here, you got the headset, but then also there's all this wiring and stuff. And, like, you can get wireless headsets, but then that also means you have to put sensors all around your room and stuff like that, so it's just added cost. And like the Apple one is like, it's wireless, but you've got your battery pack you need to carry around with you, so you just look like an idiot. I don't know, I feel like the headset's really good, the technology is there for like gaming and stuff, but like they just haven't backed it up with the catalog of games. There's just not a lot to like showcase it, because like the games I played have been really good on it, but I just haven't played many games on it because there's just not been many calling out to me. Because I thankfully, like Gran Turismo got like a free VR update. That was really good. And then like again, Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil 4, they were free updates. So I played them just because I already had the base games. I've not bought many like, you know, VR games for this console, like just off the bat, you know.
Yeah.
Apart from the kayak one, which made me really motion sick and just wasn't very
awful. Yeah.
Well, didn't want to go as hard with that one as I did when I.
Oh yeah. Well, you were just there like.
I feel like you were on it for ages, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, it was also the same with my dad. We were like, now don't play in on kayak for too long, or in Gran Turismo for too long, because you'll feel really poorly. An hour later, and he was still on
Gran Turismo is all right.
In fact, I'm gonna have to dock. I'm going to dock 2 hours from your playtime.
All right, because of your dad.
Yeah. Because of dad and Kieran. So, place your bets. How many hours did you play on this?
30 hours.
Okay.
You reckon 30. I reckon 34.
So, obviously there's games such as Beat Saber, Kayak. We've added Gran Turismo in and Resident Evil on an average, because we can't work out fully. So actually that comes to a total of 52.
Okay.
So actually, Michael, you've only spent £9.79 per hour. So do you feel that is worth it? Yeah. Would you pay £9.79 to play on this for an hour?
I say, yeah. It is like, again, the games I played have been really good. Especially like Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. Because like that on the first VR headset just wasn't very...
Because again, clunky.
Yeah, clunky. Yeah. And like again, the move controllers just weren't very good. But I list these ones here like a really... They just add make the game so much better to play.
It's so real. You almost get some friction in real life when you're, when you're swinging a katana.
You really think that the light bulb is a zombie's skull?
I was just practicing.
Yeah. But you're just like honestly really good, because I played like the full campaign. I like platinumed it and everything, so like I really committed to it. And like the motion sickness and stuff didn't get to me in like those kind of games. But like games like Kayak and like Gran Turismo, you did feel a bit motion sick, especially Kayak. Like I'd like to go back to that game, but like it just, as soon as you get in the water, you're like, I wonder if it's like a weird seasickness and motion sickness thing. Just like, not that I know that I'm seasick or anything. I just wonder if it's like a weird.
I get seasick. Yeah.
So, what about you two, Lip? Like, we're not going to do your stats because you don't really play.
Yeah, it's probably like maximum 20 minutes.
But the games that you've played, because you've tried.
I've tried a few different things. Like I've gone into it and tried it a few times. But it's honestly like, if you're a person that generally gets motion sickness or car sick, travel sick, anything like that, or is just generally nauseous 24/7, like I am, don't even bother, because it is awful. Like I think it's all like, it gives me a headache, it makes me feel sick, so I can't play on it for more than 5-10 minutes, and then I'm done, right. And I have to like lie down, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're a kind of person that is, I said this word the other day, predisposed to that kind of thing, then just, it's not worth it. Like I think the technology is great, but I don't think it's worth it if you're that kind of person.
I think that's one of the big hurdles as well for like this technology really taking off, and like gaming is just, you can't stop the motion sickness stuff. Like the games can do some things to like aid that, but like it just does, it's not quite there in terms of like not making you feel ill, because some games just will, if it's like you're up really high, or if you're in the ocean, or if you're like running and stuff like that. It just all... struggles. It can struggle, like, depending on the person. Like, again, some games I feel fine, some games I don't. I'm like, oh. Like,
yeah.
You know, it does make me feel weird. So I think, like, that's a big thing.
Yeah. If you could play any of the games that you play normally and have a VR version of them, like, what game would you pick?
I feel like we kind of touched upon this last time, but I imagine there's probably been some games like that cropped up since we did the episode, because I know me and you did, like, we said Dishonored would be a great VR game.
I don't know. What would I want to see in VR?
I mean, some, I know
or
some...
What kind of game? Like, if you were developing a game, what game would you develop?
I mean, when you're thinking about games that people, like, that we've played, that we've really kind of interacted with well, it's those kind of action games where you're, like, less shooting games, because then you're kind of, like, when you're kind of, you're pretending you're holding a gun, and then, but you're just holding those controllers, it doesn't feel as real, but maybe more like Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if they did, because I know they did a Skyrim VR initially, if they upped it to this one, I know that's releasing, releasing Skyrim for, like, the 20th time, but still, like, I this technology as it is, because it's so much superior to the PSVR 1, it would just make that experience so much better.
Like, kind of like a melee gunfight, like, mixture kind of game, because, yeah, it's not like Resident Evil 8's, like, all solid, like, gunplay and stuff, and, like, that can feel a bit weird, especially, like, reloading and stuff, but, like, again, like, Saints and Sinners is, like, you got grenades, you got, obviously, the melee stuff in that, so it does work really well.
Yeah, I have seen some, like, VR games, but there's one that's been in my basket, but obviously I haven't bought it yet because I haven't used a VR for however long. I think it's called Swordsman VR or something. And it's like more kind of like a one-on-one dueling thing. So you actually kind of like parry people with the sword and things like that. So it's like, you know, it's that's the kind of thing that you can try and do with
and
things like that. But I think there's a lot of potential. It's not there yet.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet.
And because it's not there yet, there's not a lot of publishers and game creators that are willing to invest the amount of money it takes to make a game on something that they know they're going to make a loss on. Like, it's the kind of thing with Resident Evil. Like, they've done that. They've released those free updates with VR. But the amount of work that's gone into that for them, and then they're not charging for it. It's like,
Then must be like a marketing reason for that. Like, that's not a let's make money off this game. It's like, it's marketing and brand representation.
Maybe it's kind of like a thing to test the waters to see how people respond to the VR titles to see if they can make a full VR game.
Yeah. Maybe. But,
you know, it's a lot of work.
Some bits might work really well. I think probably out of the two, I like Resident Evil Village more, because Village was a first-person game anyway, whereas Resident Evil 4 was a third-person game they were translating.
I was trying to stifle the yawn, and then I thought, actually, I probably look even more like an idiot than if I just yawned. So,
so they tried to translate a third-person game into a first-person VR experience, which, like, works. The gunplay and, like, the gameplay and stuff is fine. Like, it works really well. But then, like, you'll get third-person cuts. Like, the cutscenes are just a flat screen that you're watching. Or I liked this element, like, because climbing ladders is one thing in VR which makes me feel a bit motion sick. Like, that would be, you'd watch your third-person, like, avatar climb up the ladder, and that, obviously, you're not doing it, so it didn't feel as bad. But, like, I feel like maybe for, like, Resident Evil Village, it wasn't much of, like, a translation, because it's kind of like, all the cutscenes are first-person, like, they're fine, like, they can stay as is, but, like, the gunplay and stuff just needs a few extra details, and, like, obviously you've got to move your body a bit more, but I don't know. I feel like whether they could have made it paid DLC potentially, but then also, like, it's just kind of, I guess it's just kind of there. Like, it's got to be like a system seller kind of thing. That's why some of these are free or, like, they're paid upgrades.
I get it for, like, the initial ones, like Village, when they did that, because was one that drove sales.
Yes, it's pretty much why I got it. It was just that game in VR was just what I want. I really wanted to experience that.
But by the time, like, 4, and I can't remember when, did 8 come out around the time of...
8 came out, like, a year before the VR came out, I think.
Did they announce that they were doing the VR thing as it was releasing?
No, I don't think so, actually, no. Right. I think when they announced the PSVR 2, they were like, they are doing a Resident Evil 8. VR port. So it wasn't sort of known when the game, like, the initial the base game came out,
because That's the only reason I can think why they didn't charge for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm complaining that they're not charging for them, because that just means all, it's less for consumers. Mm-hmm. But
it's more like a marketing thing. Like, where is the money coming from?
Yeah, it's like what is their plan if they're not willing, if they're not planning on charging for this? Because I don't think it gave like a second wave in sales of the base game. No. Like, you might have got a couple more people, but it wouldn't have been like a massive boost.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm talking about this way too much, but it just needs more time. They need to reduce the cost of this so it's more consumer friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the technology just needs to get, you know, that next stage up.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned about the Apple thing earlier, and that's different again, because obviously this, you're going into like the virtual reality, whereas that they're doing, it's like an augmented reality. So I know that's a place where a lot of, I think about like 5-10 years ago, a lot of companies started experimenting in like augmented reality, because you saw it all the time in like mobile apps and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe now they're just trying to take it that next step, like they have with other things. But
if the Apple thing was like £100 or like the price of a phone, would you get it?
I wouldn't.
I don't have an Apple phone anymore, so probably not.
Theoretically, then, Kieran.
I don't know. It would have to have something on it that would make me go, "Oh, that'd be interesting to try."
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest. Of the three of us, I make the most. What's the word?
I don't know why I thought.
Stupid purchases.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say, out of the three of us, I make the most money. So if any, I do that. But yeah, I wouldn't, especially because like we watched a review of it, which was really interesting, because it is like, if you came round, I had an Apple Vision Pro, and you're like, oh, can I try it out? There's just such a faff of like getting you to try it, whereas like, with like the VR2 headset, you put it on, you like scroll the thing to adjust it to your eyesight, boom, that's it, done.
Mm.
Whereas like, there's such a step-by-step process with the Apple Vision Pro to like tailor it to your face and like your eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just you just couldn't pop around and be like, oh, I want to see what this is like. It'd just be an absolute, like, just, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And like, it's all designed with Apple products in mind. So it's like, if I wanted to share something, I could Bluetooth it to him. I could AirDrop it to my Mac or my phone, but I couldn't like send it to you. And like, I don't think you can even use like apps like Spotify and YouTube on it, which are like,
it said that, and again, that's the thing where the developers for that website or their app need to then build something else, because it's all just different technology.
Yeah.
I think it's until they put it in glasses, like, obviously I wear glasses anyway, like, it would have to be like this.
Yeah.
For me to go for it.
I remember when they made the Google Glass like a couple of years ago, but I can't remember what.
No,
I didn't know what that was actually like.
I never saw anything about it.
It was literally like glasses, and then it had a thing like just come out the glasses.
Yeah.
So really, they were ahead of their time, but they were probably like 15 years ahead of their time. And now Apple have kind of said, well, this is what you can do if you like, because this is what the guy was saying. He was like, it's not, they don't really care for you to buy it. It's like, this is what the technology is now.
Mm.
Everybody, like, get on it before we get on it, you know, otherwise we're going to be pioneering again.
I mean, it's kind of like box TVs, isn't it? Because, like, if you look at what they were like 30 years ago as opposed to now, you had, like, this massive unit.
Yeah.
Just, like, run it all, and now we, like, run with, like, flat-screen TVs that are less than an inch thick. So, I mean, that's kind of how it's going to progress, but...
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to fit, like, what is essentially a computer
within...
a pair of glasses, like it's just insane.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, you'd be like Tony Stark, wouldn't you? And that's kind of what
it starts becoming more kind of fictional.
We're close though. I feel like we're really, really close to actually genuinely living in that world where you're like.
There's something very dystopian about envisioning that though. Like, everyone's got their like Apple Vision Pros on and being like,
it just kind of reminds me of like Wall-E, where it's like all the old
Like,
that's where it's kind of like the more like advances in technology we have, the closer we get into that kind of thing.
So. I feel like to me, like, I know scrolling through TikTok's a bit depressing anyway, like in real life, Not that, you know, not if you're checking out our channel, go check us out on TikTok. But like, could you imagine like just be sort of like just sat there in like your chair and you're just like with this headset on, you're so like, like a,
you probably
like
can't even do that. You just
it'd be with your eyes.
Yeah, like a weird mindless, especially like,
or it'd be like telepathy. Like it'd be able to tap into your brain waves control it with your mind.
That sounds like the thing. What that Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Why is it with you and Nate? Elon. Austin Butlin's last week. Yeah. Elon Musk.
Oh God. We're not starting this again with Austin Butlins.
I really forgot about that.
But like you got Elon Musk doing the brain chip, hasn't he? That one guy signed up, which I don't even know what that is, whether it's like a computer chip or something. It's, you know,
it's never going to be something that the like public are going to go with. I would never have like a computer chip in my brain.
No, this is like Apple's light version of that. It's like, oh, just put it on your face or whatever, and then suddenly you'd be like, Elon Musk being like, put it in your brain, put it in your head. So yeah,
it's like Futurama where they dream and there's adverts in their dreams.
Oh yeah, I thought you meant it's when they go to the internet. And it's like their avatars go in. It's just like, oh my god, it's full of ads. Yeah. You know that. Yeah, that's brilliant.
We're gonna have Elon Musk of cyber industry soon.
Mm,
oh god,
yeah.
Brain champs. Yeah. And for that is the you got Apple Vision Pro and then you got Cybermen. That's the two ends of the spectrum, is we all just one day become Cybermen.
Yeah.
One of you Doctor Who fans out there who've stuck with the podcast this long. There's your Doctor Who reference. So yeah, I think 1 year on, was it a good idea? Was it a good, you know, is the PSVR 2 worth it like a year on?
It's for the right person.
For the right person. Or for, you know, there's like those shops. I can't think of the right word because it's not a shop, but like where you go and you... an arcade, and you pay an hour's gone VR.
Yeah.
Perfect. But in the comfort of your own home, it, you know... And the thing is, like that guy was saying about the Apple thing, like you can't even play with friends. Like once somebody's in VR,
just
they're in their
them,
own world.
Yeah.
You're either just watching them or, you know, you do, because we've like joked about that where people have come round and we've been like, oh, you know, they'll go in VR for an hour and we'll just chit chat in the background, you know, and that's literally what it likes. The whole point is it takes you out of the reality that you're in, and we do enough of that anyway with phones and whatever. So I think it's not quite there yet. I think maybe in another 5 years it'll be there, but it's not quite there yet for me.
Yeah, I feel like I really hate to say that I don't think it is worth it. I feel like, again, if they made the catalogue of games bigger, if they made the other stuff backwards compatible, then you would have a good variety of games to play. But just at the moment, there's just not much that like screams out to me. There's like some future stuff maybe. I think they're doing like an Aliens VR game, so whether that it leans into like the horror. I also don't want games that are like 2 hours and then they're done. I like the bigger stuff. That's why like Resident Evil and Walking Dead were good, because they were just full-fledged games. And like, again, even with Skyrim on the old one, you could just play the entirety of Skyrim and spend however many, like, you know, 40, 60 hours in the headset doing that. So I'd really struggle to say that it's worth picking this up, like... Yeah, a year on.
Yeah, you need more dedicated developers into like making games solely for this, and then they're kind of like they perfect their craft, and then they maybe get some like of the bigger companies like Capcom and all those people, and then they maybe like write the story for it, but they've got the developers behind it who can actually make the engines and like produce a good system within. So
I mean, technology's impressive, games are lacking, so that's the that's the biggest problem, it's just the games are lacking. What would you score the headset?
We're not scoring the headset.
Not scoring a headset.
We're not scoring it.
What would you score it, Michael?
Probably like an 8 out of 10.
No, what? What? Just said that it's not worth it. Give
no.
What's
the 10 on the technology is an 8 out of 10.
But the concept as a whole...
You're docking a point because you don't have much games, and I guess I could also dock a point because of things like the charge
really
time on these controllers, like, you know, they don't...
And also,
the
this is just really flimsy. Like, look at this teeny tiny little port for this teeny tiny little thing.
This is a review of the charging
stand
now.
Oh, for God's sake, like, I just want it to slot in. Like, why does it not just, like... It's not it.
To be fair, it's more. It's kind of more there for display purposes sometimes, just because where are you going to keep these? Keep these things. But
in the loft.
Yes, I really want to go in the loft. I'm not getting into this because we don't have any floorboards down in the loft. So where are we going to put a tulip on top of the?
I'll put it in my mum's loft then.
I was about to say on top of the asbestos, but we don't have asbestos in this house.
We live in a new build. We don't have any asbestos in this house.
Insulation, that's the word. Put it on top of the insulation.
Goodness sake, Michael.
Yeah.
If you have a real abundance of money, get the VR. If you don't,
Give it
a couple of years.
There you go. There's Kieran's sign of approval. Or
managed to sum it up.
Money and space.
Yes, space.
If you have money but no space.
Oh, yeah.
If you have space but no money, still don't get it.
Yeah.
If you have both, get it. If you have none, I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
Right, let's leave it there.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Those are our thoughts 1 year on about the PlayStation VR 2 headset. There won't be an episode next week because me and Tulip are on holiday. Kieran is also doing extracurricular activities.
I've got an exam.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the real life things that get in the way of publishing this podcast. But we will catch you guys in 2 weeks' time. I'm not too sure what we'll be covering, but we'll be there ready to give you the newest in the Cinematic Trinity roster of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I've been Michael.
I've been Kieran.
And I've been Tulip.